Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome today. I'm calling this one, Oh Lord, You Have Pleaded My Soul's Cause. And this is from Lamentations 3:58 and 3:59. So I'm just going to read those two scriptures to you, the whole of them. Oh Lord, You have pleaded my soul's cause. You have redeemed my life. Oh Lord, You have seen my oppression. Judge my case. And I want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make His face to shine upon them and give them peace. And I declare that they will have above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of His story in Jesus' name. I'm so grateful for that ministry. I just truly, of all the ministries on the earth, that's my faith. And so I want to, of course, blow the recording of the shofar from Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets that you will be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. Hallelujah. Well, I want to make my prayer Psalm 35, 1 through about, well, I'll just read. Lord, I just thank You, Father, in Jesus' name, and by Your power, Holy Spirit, I thank You, Lord, for contending, O Lord, with those who contend with us, for fighting against those who fight against us, for taking hold of buckler and shield, and rising up for our help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue us. Say to our soul, You are our salvation. Let those be ashamed and dishonored who seek our life. Let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against us. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them on. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let the net which they hid catch themselves into that very destruction. Let them fall, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. It shall exult in His salvation. And of course, there's way more to that. But we can bring our situations to the throne of grace. And the Lord's been speaking to me. There's a couple main issues in my life. Thing I prayed it through, and now all I have to do is thank Him. And I received instructions from church to do certain things to have it come to pass. It was a prophetic word, and I received it. I knew it was true. So I have been doing the instructions of that prophetic word, and yesterday I heard, You prayed it through. Now stand fast and see my salvation. And so I am going to listen. I'm going to listen to those instructions from the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we have to do more, and we have to strive in prayer, and which we do have to strive in prayer, but the battle is the Lord's, and the victory will be ours if it's according to His will. And I know these certain situations are according to the will of God. And I want to read a couple of this. Well, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures because we can literally take our case into the courtroom of God. And of course, we can go into the very throne room by the blood of Jesus. And so we can certainly go into the courtroom. And here's Job, and we know, I did a show called Job Had a Really Bad Day, because he lost everything. He lost his children, he lost his home, he lost everything. And so in Job 31, 35, it says, "Oh, that I had one to hear me. Behold, here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me and the indictment which my adversary has written. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder. I would bind it to myself like a crown." And then we're going to go into Job 35:14. "How much less when you say you do not behold him. The case is before him, and you must wait for him." And when I read that, I was like, okay, confirmation on that one, Lord. So Job 37:19. "Teach us what we shall say to him. We cannot arrange our case because of darkness." And in Job 13:18, "Behold, now I have prepared my case. I know that I will be vindicated." And in Job 19:28, "If you say, how shall we persecute him? What pretext for a case against him can we find?" And then in Job 23, verse 4, it says, "I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments." And in Job 29:16, "I was a father to the needy, and I investigated the case which I did not know." And in Job 38:1, I love it because he gets to present his case before the Lord. And in Job 38:1, he says, well, this is what the Lord comes. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." And, you know, the Lord goes on and lays out creation before him. And the first thing he says to him is, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." And of course he did. God did hear his case. 40 verse 1, it says, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it." And Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer even twice, and I will add nothing more." Because Job was like, whoa. it's too big for me. I'm sorry. You know, it says that he threw ashes on himself and basically was like, I'm just going to be quiet. And so in Job, I'm going to keep going a little bit. "Now gird up your loins." Well, okay, I'm going to go in verse 6. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, now gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you and you instruct me. Will you really annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity, and clothe yourself with honor and majesty. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone who is proud and make him low. Look on everyone who is proud and humble and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them in the dust together. Bind them in the hidden place. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Then, after God has his talk with Job, where he literally lays out creation before Job, and if you've never read it, you really, really do need to read it. But regardless, or I should say in spite of Job, the Lord really did hear his case. And I really want to read all of Job 42, because this is where the Lord talks about how he answered Job. And we're going to start at the first one. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. Hear now, and I will speak, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. And so Job realized, he believed that God was the one that caused all of his issues, and that wasn't true. Because first of all, fear opened the door to everything. And you can, if you read Job, you will see what he said this. He said, what I feared most came upon me. And so he believed that God caused all of his issues. And a lot of people miss the point that fear opened the door. And Job says it himself. What I feared the most came upon me, and he would confess certain things every day. And so God literally sent people hoping they would build up the hedges in his life, but they tore them down more. They were literally miserable, miserable comforters. And so we're going to keep reading. It came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job will pray for you, for I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job did. And so, you know, they each, if you read the whole book of Job, they went on and on accusing Job of things that were not true about him. And the Lord, you know, the Lord remembered. He remembered Job. And always remember, he will remember us. And so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. Now think about this, because in our lives, what if people come to us and they say, Job, I'm really sorry. What are you going to do? Because the whole point was Job had to forgive his friends also so that Job could be restored too. And so in Job 42:10, it says, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And the reason why they were brought on him is because he opened the door and the enemy had access. And there was a pride issue here also. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job and more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jemima, and the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and grandsons 4 generations, and Job died an old man full of days. So you see, in spite of Job, in spite of his wrong thinking, in spite of himself, God heard his case, and he judged fairly, and he totally restored Job more than before, double than before. And I want to read a couple scriptures to you where it talks about people crying out to the Lord to plead their case. And in Psalm 43:1, it says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." You know, think about that, Selah, because if we cry out to God and we ask him to judge our case, don't you think it'll be judged better than if we try to do it ourselves? Because I'm sure we've all been there before, where we try to do it ourselves and it just doesn't work out. Been there, done that. And then we say things we wished we wouldn't have, because the people we're dealing with are so, they're so illogical. They're so, you can't deal with them. And so I've had to repent myself, because had I just brought my case to the Lord and let him judge it, I know it would have turned out right the first time. And so let's continue on. Proverbs 18:17. "The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him." And in that case, I would like to say, yeah, let, even though the other people, you know, their case seems right, if it's right in the eyes of God for us, he will come and examine it, and he will deal with it. In Proverbs 22:23, it says, "For the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them." In Proverbs 23:11, "For their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you." So let the Redeemer plead his case for you. We're going to go into Isaiah 41:21. "Present your case," the Lord says. "Bring forward your strong arguments," the King of Jacob says. And so we can, in prayer, take our case before the Lord and present it before him and ask him to be the judge and to bring to pass what his righteous judgments are. And I know, now I know for myself, there are a couple things in my life where there's hidden things going on, and the Lord he's doing it for me, and he'll do it for you too. In Isaiah 43:26, it says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right." I mean, isn't that awesome? God is willing to listen to us. Argue our case before him. In Isaiah 42:20, 45:21, it says, "Declare and set forth your case. Let them consult together who has announced this from of old, who has long since declared it. Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me." In Isaiah 50:8, it says, "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me?" And this is the Lord talking about himself. Let him draw near to me. In Jeremiah 12:1, it says, "Righteous are you, O Lord? I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why is the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease?" And Jeremiah, you know, he was put in many different situations. And so there were times where he just almost gave up and he just couldn't do it because just the word of God burned in his bones and he just couldn't give it up. And so let's go in Jeremiah 50:34. "The Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon." And so that Babylon can also represent the world system also. In Jeremiah 51:36, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. and I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. And in Jeremiah 3:59, O Lord, you have seen my oppression, judge my case. And so we can go into the courtroom of heaven and present our case before the Lord, and he will. If it's a righteous cause and it's according to his will, and if it aligns with heaven, he will judge that case for you. And I want to go into Luke 18:31, the parable of the persistent widow. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And so we have to understand that God will avenge his elect who cry out to him day and night. And so we can come before him and present our case to him, and he will judge our case for us. And I trust him, and I am thinking about the two issues that I have brought before him. And he just said, you've prayed through, you followed the instructions of the word, now just thank me. It's done. It's done. Trust me that it will suddenly happen in my timing. And so it really gave me not only comfort, but knowing that I don't have to strive in prayer trying to do it myself. And so we're going to stop. And I'm going to play a song. And it's called Let Heaven Come. Of course, it's IHOP. And so this is from Lauren Holmes, her worship team. So as you're hearing this song, bring your case into the throne room by the blood of Jesus, because we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, and take your case into the throne room of God, knowing he is the righteous judge. He is the judge of all the earth, and it doesn't matter what people try to do. If it's unjust, he will not allow it. He will not allow it. He will judge your case for you righteously, because you're his son, you're his daughter, you're his child. So let's play a little bit of this.
Let heaven come. Yeah.
and let it play in the background and hope it doesn't all of a sudden go really loud. But I just want to have you reflect on some scriptures. Ephesians 3:10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might not be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And that, of course, what is the manifold wisdom of God? It's His Word. And so remember, we were talking about how when we pray, when we worship, that it goes up to the Lord. All right, I'm going to turn that down. Think about in Hebrews 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, of our hope, without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. You know, it's really amazing how when John saw Jesus in Revelation 1, he was in the high priest outfit, because He's the great high priest in heaven who is constantly interceding for us. And that right there could give us such great hope and such great faith, knowing if we cling to Him and we cling to His Word, that we will see His will on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to think about Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Now think about that, because that's how we enter in. That's Ephesians 2:13. And so it's so reassuring to know that our great high priest is interceding for us, and that He will, if we ask Him, we will ask that the hidden things be brought into the light, those things that those plots and plans of the enemy, God sees them. He sees their dishonesty. And you can ask Him, say, Lord, let them fall into their own trap and into their own snare, because He is the one that will do that. And I've had a couple of dreams concerning things in my life where God's saying, hey, you don't even have to deal with it. Just give it to Me. I see what's going on in the darkness, and I'm the one that's going to bring it into the light. I'm the one that is going to bring those hidden things into the daylight. And so know that if you totally, totally give your case over to the Lord, I mean, do what you feel in your humanness that you're supposed to do. But when you've done all that you know you're supposed to do, then stand, even if it looks impossible. Even if you know people are working against you in the background. It doesn't matter, because if God is for you, there is literally no one who can be against you. And he will bring those hidden things into the light. And those people who have set snares and traps for us, they will fall into their own, just like Haman did in the case of Esther. Remember that? He wanted to take down Esther's uncle Mordecai. But guess what? God saw it. They called a fast. They all fasted and prayed because their whole nation, the Jewish nation, was at stake. It happened. The one that wanted to kill and destroy fell into their own trap and into their own snare and into their own net. And if we know that God wants us to bring our case before him and we trust him, and that's another thing, once we say, Lord, once we give him our case, we bring it into the courtroom of heaven, and we just have to trust and know that the God of heaven, the righteous judge, will bring to pass, he will judge the case, and he will make it right on our behalf. And we have so many beautiful things, so many weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through him to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we can bring into captivity every single one of our thoughts captive to his obedience, because our minds, you know, the enemy wants to speak and say, this is not going to happen for you. No, the enemy's going to win here. No, don't believe that. Don't believe that. You just say, get behind me, devil. So in Hebrew, I'm going to talk about one of the most amazing weapons, the blood of Jesus. And in Hebrews 12:24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And I'm going to go into 1 Peter 2-4. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. And that is in Revelations. And the one that I use today for my title, Lamentations 3:58 and 3:59. Oh Lord, you have pleaded my soul's cause. You have redeemed my life. Oh Lord, you have seen my oppression. Judge my case. Job 16:20, but mine eyes poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that a man might plead with God as a man with his neighbor. And he sure did, didn't he? And the Lord turned it around in spite of his limited understanding, thinking that God was the cause of this, not even realizing that one of the reasons was he spoke out of his mouth, that what he feared came upon him. And God, you know, dealt with him. I think he had some pride issues. And so the Lord dealt with him. And what did he say? Hey, you know, I'm going to throw dust and ashes. I'm going to repent in dust and ashes. He realized who God was. God showed himself to him. And he is not a respecter of persons. I'm going to go into Hebrews 7:24. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that amazing? He makes intercession for us. And when we intercede, we can go to the great intercessor and ask him Lord, how do we do this? How do we pray for this? How do we present it before you? Think about in Job 9:33. It says, there is no umpire between us who may lay his hand upon us both. And we know that that great umpire is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he has given us that ministry to intercede on earth. And we can enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, and we can ask him how he wants to do this thing, how he wants to, what are his strategies and his plans. And it's in the spirit, just like it happened with John. And you can read about that in Revelation. You can read the whole of Revelation. He said, come up here, and I'm going to show you things to come. And it says, immediately he was in the spirit, and we can be there too. So we're going to, well, I want to talk about two other scriptures before we play our song, because think about in Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. And of course, when we do that, the Lord lets us know, you know, when we've prayed it through. You know, it's in the hands of the Lord. We've done what we're supposed to do. Now we stand and we wait for the victory because we labored in prayer. And Romans 15:30 says, now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so there is a striving in prayer. But then it comes to the place where the burden, we have prayed the burden through, and then it is taken away from us, and the Lord deals with it on earth as it is in heaven. And so isn't that beautiful? Yes, he gives us those burdens of prayer. We pray them through, and he lets us know, all right, you've prayed it through. Now wait for my answer. And so I'm going to leave this week that with a song called God, I Look to You, because here it is. We've done our part. We've presented our case. We've prayed it through, and the Lord says, all right, it's with me. I will judge the case. Here we go. It's called God, I Look to You by Laura Hackett. All right, if it's going to play anyway, there it goes. Share with you, this is Matt Gilman, not Laura Hackett. Sorry.
Give me And I